I'm sure we've all been lost at times. I'm sure we've all, you know, lost things. Perhaps some of us have even lost children. I remember a time when I was little and I got lost in a shopping center. It was only a few minutes, but I panicked. But let me tell you a story of when I was actually lost and it kind of got serious. I was bushwalking and I just didn't think of it, but I didn't tell anyone where I was going at the time. And basically I lost the track. I followed the wrong track and it suddenly petered out. And I was, you know, confident, oh, I can handle this. I know where to go. I've just made a slight wrong turn. So I started bush bashing. Bad idea. Because I didn't have, like, you know, a compass or anything. So very soon I was quite disoriented. And I was in the midst of just kind of high bush. So the grass and stuff was like waist high. And it was really dry. And I'd finished all my water. And it was hot. And I was really baking and sweating. And I didn't know where I was. And I didn't know which way back to even like the track that had petered out, which obviously was the wrong track. Because if I got back to that, at least I could get back. I was truly, properly lost. And it was really bad. And I sat down and contemplated my mortality. As I contemplated my mortality, a plane flew overhead and I could hear the hum of traffic and there was a dog barking, and I had my phone and I realized I've got full sort of reception, because that bushwalk that I was on, now who here knows Lake Parramatta? Yeah, so I had managed to get lost in the middle of Sydney. In the little bushwalk that goes round Lake Parramatta. So I wasn't actually that worried, because I knew if I just kept walking in any direction, I would eventually come up against somebody's backyard and it was fine. And so I just kept bush bashing. I eventually found the proper track and so I continued the walk. And I think I must have frightened a group of walkers coming the other way, because I had leaves all over me and I was all sweaty. And so when they saw me, they sort of took a double take and asked, "Is it a really difficult walk?" We're here jumping into the middle of the Gospel of Luke, and we see Jesus in action. Christmas is all about Jesus, but the Jesus that we see at Christmas time is the baby Jesus in a manger, surrounded by all the oxen and the shepherds and so on and so on. He's cute, but he's harmless. That baby Jesus grew up. And when he grew up, he did and said some crazy things. This story of Jesus visiting Zacchaeus is too familiar. We need to listen carefully to what Jesus actually was doing and saying. Or else we'll just say, yeah, yeah, so Jesus went to hang out with Zacchaeus, who was a short man. He was a short man. Now, the thing with Zacchaeus, first of all, Zacchaeus was searching, and good on him. He wanted to find out what Jesus was really like. Look at verses 1 to 4 again. Luke 19, 1 to 4. If you've closed it, please open it up again. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now let's give Zacchaeus credit. At least he was interested in Jesus. Most of the people in Sydney and in Australia and perhaps probably even the world today are not really that interested in Jesus. Even if they've heard about Jesus, they go, yeah, yeah, Jesus is for those Christians. Yeah, Jesus is for people who go to church. Jesus is just a swear word to me anyway. I don't really care. Now, I take it that if you're here, that at least you're interested in Jesus, even if it's a passing curiosity. Well done. Coming along to church and taking the Bible seriously is the kind of way to find out about Jesus. And even if you're sort of not really sure, if you're not really convinced, look, you know, I'm not religious, I don't really believe Jesus was God, Christmas for me is really mostly about family, but I'm open-minded, okay, yeah, I'll be willing to consider Jesus, tell me what he's like. That's really good. You're doing better than most of the population of Sydney. You're doing better than most of the population of the world. Don't lose that interest. Keep working hard to find out who Jesus is. Fan the flame, fan the curiosity. At universities are basically powered by curiosity. Because universities are all about teaching and learning and education and research. And the only reason that we want to do research and learn about things is because we are curious. How does the world work anyway? How can we split the atom? How can we make a better mousetrap? Fan that curiosity. Just like Zacchaeus did. We know that he was short. In many kids' talks, we make a big deal of the shortness. But the fact is, he did something that was relatively undignified. He climbed a tree. Even today, if a grown man climbs a tree, we chuckle. I mean, it's not necessarily bad or sinful. It's just kind of like, well, you know, that's funny. Why? Because children climb trees, not grown men. So Zacchaeus was so interested, so curious, so determined to find out about Jesus that he even did something undignified. He climbed a tree. What kinds of undignified and curious things, what kinds of undignified and unusual things are you going to do because you're curious about Jesus? Now, if you're curious about Jesus now, we can't literally go and look at Jesus because he's not physically here. That's why God gave us the Bible. And that's why God has given us the church. This church and the other churches like it that we've been doing our mission at. As we read the Bible, we see Jesus doing stuff. We hear Jesus talking about stuff. That's why this church puts on things like Christianity Explained and Bible studies. A couple of our people went to one of this church's Bible studies on Wednesday evening. If you're here and you're curious about Jesus, and we're not asking you to commit, we're not asking you to give us any money or anything. If you're curious about Jesus, come to this church regularly, read the Bible, talk to Damien, the minister, and come along to one of the Bible studies from this church. Talk to Damien, he'll even put on a special Bible study for you using a little course called Christianity Explained. Or Bruce, one of the elders here, he can lead you through that. A really simple way of finding out, of searching for Jesus and finding the real Jesus who is really there. Will you be like Zacchaeus? Curious enough to perhaps take the risk of doing something a little bit uncool to find out about the real Jesus who was really there according to the Bible. Because the real Jesus, he himself did something pretty uncool. He actually came to search for us. Look at verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Now for us, it's like, oh, well, that's kind of nice. So Jesus wanted to stay in Zacchaeus' house. Think about this command. It's almost like a royal command. "Zacchaeus, out of that tree, I must stay at your house." Now, sometimes, you know how we joke about inviting yourself around for lunch? Sometimes it's fine. And Damien, you said we're going home. Actually, we're not. We're coming around for lunch. So we're inviting ourselves as a team around for lunch. So we look forward to socializing and chatting more with you at the over lunch. But Jesus invited himself round to Zacchaeus' place for lunch. Now, in Western countries, in Western culture, that's bordering on rude, because our house is our castle and we have the power of the house and we invite whom we want to the house. But when it comes to two things, when it comes to Jesus, Zacchaeus really wanted Jesus to meet Jesus. He was really eager to come and find out who Jesus is really like. All he wanted to do was see Jesus from the top of a tree. And he was willing to bear with people pointing and laughing at him. But here's Jesus saying, "Zacchaeus, you want to find me? Excellent. I want to find you more than you want to find me." Jesus is on a rescue mission. That's why if you skip all the way down to verse 10, This is how Jesus talked about himself. The Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Now, Son of Man there is one of Jesus' ways of talking about himself. So basically, he could be saying, I came to seek and save what was lost. For those of you who know your Bibles really well, this is a very interesting use of the term Son of Man. Because usually, in Daniel chapter 7, the Son of Man comes in power and glory to judge the world. But no, that's not what the Son of Man is doing here, according to Jesus. He, the Son of Man, has not come to judge and destroy the world, at least not yet. He has come to seek and save the lost. Jesus wants to find Zacchaeus more than Zacchaeus wants to find him. Imagine if we go along and there's some, you know, One Direction or Elvis Presley. Or, no, he's dead. Cliff Richard, rather. Yeah, that's who I have in mind. Not Elvis Presley, Cliff Richard. If Elvis Presley turned up, then we know the conspiracy theories were all true. But one of your favorite or some famous singer or something, and you're just Kamal. Yeah, that's it. And so if. Oh, yeah. And you know, when we just want to see him. And so we might get the camera out and we're clicking and all that. And he turns and says to us, hey, Robin, Greg, lunch your place today. How cool would that be? It depends on how much you like him. But you get the point. Jesus wanted to hang with Zacchaeus. Wanted to get to know Zacchaeus and be friends with Zacchaeus more than Zacchaeus wanted to get to know him. More, he gave Zacchaeus so much more than he expected. How much do you expect from Jesus? Well, you know, you're curious about Jesus. Maybe this Jesus can help me to live a better life. Jesus gives us more than a good life now. Well, perhaps if I follow this Jesus, then I'll have my sins forgiven. But I know I'm not a really good person. I've done a lot of bad things and I know that. So maybe I'll just get a little corner in heaven where I can stay out of his way. Nah. He gives us so much more than that. He gives us personal friendship and fellowship with himself. We as a mission team have been blessed by people's hospitality. People have opened up their homes and we have gone and slept in their beds and eaten their food and eaten more of their food and eaten even more of their food. We have been extremely well fed. Yesterday there was twice as many sandwiches as we could get through. Damien kept saying to us, eat, eat, eat. And we just couldn't because we'd had so much for breakfast and we knew how we were going to have so much for dinner. Jesus opens his home to us, that we could go and live with him and his Father in the joy of the Holy Spirit forever. And this is why he came. Sometimes even royalty get involved in search and rescue. You know what I'm alluding to? Yeah. What am I alluding to, Janet? Yes, you know that Prince William is a pilot with the RAF. And he's with the Royal Search and Rescue. I mean, that's not a photo of him. It's just a picture off the internet of the RAF Search and Rescue. But that's the kind of helicopter that Prince William would fly as a pilot of the Royal Air Force. King Jesus. Not just a nominal king of some defunct empire. You know? King Jesus, the ruler of the universe, came on a search and rescue mission to find humble, broken, wicked people. To live with us. So just like he came, Jesus went and said, Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house. No argument, no. I must come and eat with you and socialize with you today. Jesus came to hang with us and to take us to be with himself. In fact, when we understand who Jesus came for, his search and rescue mission is even more amazing. Because Jesus came to search for sinners. Look at verses 6 and 7. So he, that is Zacchaeus, came down at once and welcomed him, Jesus, gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Zacchaeus was a bad man. Now, when we think of tax collectors, that's who Zacchaeus was. Verse 2, he was a chief tax collector. He was wealthy. So we think, yeah, he's a tax collector. What's so bad about that? In fact, nowadays in Australia, the tax collectors are the good guys because they take the money and build roads and hospitals and disability services and so on. A lot of, many of us here have been, I have received Aus study, okay, the benefits of taxes. So many of us here have benefited from government services. That's what the tax is collected for. The tax collectors are the good guys. The bad guys are the other side, the tax consultants who hide the money in Jamaica or and do all sorts of clever deals so that big business don't have to pay any tax. It's all legal, just nasty. You remember, I used to be a tax accountant. Okay, I used to be in that, and that's why part of the reason I got out, because I had a sort of constant ethical dilemma about whether the work I'm doing is actually pleasing to God or not. But back then, in Jesus' time, the tax collectors were the thieves. They were the bad guys, because they were collecting money not for the local, not for the benefit of the local people, but for mighty Rome. Remember that Israel was at this time ruled by the Roman Empire. So the taxes were basically Rome ripping all the good stuff, all the money, okay, all the wealth out from the countries they had conquered. And with that money, they would build Roman roads. They would give benefits to Roman retirees. They would make Roman sick people healthy. But the local Jews, they can die for all we care. And this man Zacchaeus was a Jewish man who was siding with the Romans. We hate getting backstabbed. I'm sure many of us have experienced where you've got a friend and then all of a sudden your friend is playing with the cool guys and they're laughing at you. And you're like, what? I thought you were my pal. That on a million times more is what Zacchaeus was doing. Because he collected taxes for the Romans, Jewish children starved. Because he collected taxes for the Romans, Jewish men couldn't worship God, they were unclean. Because of what he did, he pushed his own people into the mud. No wonder they called him a sinner. And because he was. He was a bad man, exploiting his own people. Perhaps we've never done anything quite that bad. I'm looking out here at I suspect a bunch of reasonably moral people. Or perhaps we have, and perhaps what we've done in stealing and lying and cheating, and perhaps even taking money on behalf of someone else, and so we could give it to them, and robbing even our own family, perhaps, because of that. Perhaps we've done something like that, and it's so deep, we've never talked about it, we can't admit it. Jesus came to seek and save people like that. People like Zacchaeus, who may be enjoying outwardly, he was a wealthy man, he was comfortable, he was happy, but everybody knew that inside he was corrupt, he was grieving, he was sad. Well, that's the question. Are we grieving enough the wicked deeds that we have done, the wicked person that we have become? Are we grieving that enough to seek urgently for Jesus, like Zacchaeus did? Because Jesus honors Zacchaeus right at the beginning. He said, come down, I must stay at your house. Look at verse 9. Jesus said to him, that is Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost, which in this case is Zacchaeus. This man Zacchaeus, What Jesus means there, as a son of Abraham, yes, Zacchaeus is an Israelite. That's true, biologically. But I think Jesus means more than that. This man, Zacchaeus, has put his trust in me, God's Messiah, the one who has come to die and rise to save the world. And therefore, this Zacchaeus has the kind of trust in God, the kind of loyalty to God that makes him part of God's people. It's the sort of thing that the Apostle Paul talks at great length in Romans chapter 4 when he talks about Abraham being a man of faith. This man Zacchaeus, he might have been wealthy on the outside, but he grieved who he had become. He grieved what he had done enough to desperately, frantically cast himself on Jesus. And Jesus honored that and responded gladly to his search by giving, Jesus gave himself fully to Zacchaeus, even going and eating and ignoring the mockery of the crowd. What Jesus did in terms of publicity was a death sentence. It's exactly the opposite to what the publicity people would say today. You don't go and hang out with the losers. At least if you do, you got to go hang out with the losers in a way that is culturally acceptable, where you get like lots of likes on Facebook. Okay? You don't go hang out with the losers in a way that everybody who is powerful and has all the money will pay you out. That's what Jesus did. And if we are desperate enough to search for him where he may be found, the real Jesus of the Bible, okay, be assured he will honor that search by showing himself to you, by giving himself to you, so that you can put your trust in him. This is why Jesus came to die and rise. We love Christmas. It's all about gifts and so on. But remember that baby, he grew up to do and say these crazy countercultural things, and then he died in agony under the curse and judgment of God himself. This is what it took to truly seek and save the lost. He had to go down, as it were, to the depths of hell itself so that he could bring up those who were in danger of that punishment from God, who were in danger of going into those depths. And that is why he had to rise, victorious, conquering over the grave. We sang a song and had a heaps hilarious skit at one of our scripture seminars where we did Super Savior, talking about he's the death smasher, the death crusher. Why? Because Jesus, here comes Jesus, Super Savior to the rescue, up, out of the grave. When we find Jesus, if we search for him desperately, when he gives himself to us, when we put our trust in him, knowing that he died and rose for us, then we have to chuck a U-turn. Look at verse 8. Look how Zacchaeus responds. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of everything, anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Now this is Zacchaeus' response to Jesus coming to dine with him, to be with him, to Jesus like responding to Zacchaeus' search. One thing we must keep clear. Jesus did not forgive Zacchaeus because he gave up being a bad man. No. That's not it, okay? So it's not this. Jesus says you must be a good little Christian and I'll forgive you. Zacchaeus was a good little Christian because he turned around from being a bad man and started being a good man and started giving away his money rather than taking money. Because Zacchaeus became a good man, Jesus forgave him. That's not it, okay? Not it. Jesus came into Zacchaeus' house when Zacchaeus was a sinner. Jesus gave fellowship to Zacchaeus when Zacchaeus was still a sinner. As someone who had been forgiven, Zacchaeus changed. Yes, Jesus forgives us completely, but when we have been completely forgiven, Jesus then calls us to chuck a U-turn, to change our life. So actually, in that sense, yes, he does call us to turn away from all the bad things we do. He calls us to become new people. But it's not in order to be forgiven. It is because we have been forgiven. Look at this Zacchaeus. He used to swindle people out of money basically because he was the Roman tax collector. He could take any money he wanted. He could just do what he liked. Because if anybody didn't give him money, the Romans would just come, kill him, and take the money anyway. So he could just take the whole house if he wanted to. But now he's giving half of his possessions to the poor. Just take, here, eat, drink. And if he's cheated anybody out of anything, well, he would have cheated everybody out of most things. Four times the amount. He is going to join the ranks of the poor pretty soon. This is the difference that Jesus makes. We don't have to do this in order to be forgiven. But having been forgiven, this is the kind of change that Jesus calls us to make. And I know that many of us here have done that. We used to worship television or football or whatever, but now we are leading ministries at church and getting involved in church. We used to just blow our money on useless pursuits, but now we are investing time in people to save them from exactly those useless things that we used to be doing. And I'm pretty confident that none of you sort of sat down and sort of thought, yes, now I've been forgiven by Jesus. What should I do? It just came naturally, didn't it? That's the difference Jesus makes. When we come to Jesus, or rather when Jesus comes to us and sets up his home in our home, we change. We can't help it. Jesus starts rearranging the furniture his way. It starts our house, ourselves, our home starts to more and more become his home, and we start to live his way, not just our own way, because he is the one who came to seek and save the lost. Jesus is God's rescue mission. How desperate are you to find out about him, to find him? If you are desperate enough to take the risk to do some crazy things like read the Bible, whoever does that? Like actually believe what it says, oh no, whoever does that? To come to church and listen to somebody talking about the Bible? If we are desperate enough to do that, be assured, Jesus will honor that by showing himself to you and by giving himself completely to you, so that you can be completely forgiven of anything and everything that you have done. And then, not only will he have a home with you, but you will have a home with him in glory forever. I'm now going to close in prayer, and part of the prayer will be specifically for anybody here who wants to put their trust in Jesus for the first time. It will be very obvious when I get to that point in the prayer. And I invite anyone who wants to put their trust in Jesus for the first time, say those lines in your head silently. You don't have to say anything out loud. Jesus can read what you say in your heart and your mind. So those who want to say that prayer, say it or make it very obvious. Let's pray. Thank you, Father God, that you sent your Son on a rescue mission. Thank you that Jesus loved us so much as to come to seek and save the lost. We admit that we have done wrong things, that we are more like Zacchaeus than we would want to admit, and that we don't deserve to have Jesus coming and living in us, to come and living in our house. We don't deserve him to even spit at us, because we have ignored him. We have ignored you, our Heavenly Father. But we thank you that you love us more than we love you. You want to be with us more than we want to be with you. And so you sent Jesus. And now, Father, we pray on behalf of anyone here who wants to put their trust in Jesus for the very first time. Father God, I admit that I am not in relationship with you. I admit that I am a sinner. I do not deserve to be your friend. Thank you for sending Jesus so that I could be more than a friend, so that I could be your very child. I put my trust in Jesus, in his death and resurrection. Please forgive me and give me eternal life in him. Amen. If anyone here prayed that prayer and you meant it, come and tell me and tell Damien so that we can all rejoice together. Thank you.